Makes me smile. I love it. All right. Well, hey, welcome to Seacoast. My name is Josh Walters. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. So glad you're here to worship with us. I want to welcome you if you're joining us online, somewhere else in the country, or at one of our campuses, wherever it may be. We're glad you're here. If it's your first time, we're especially glad that you're here. It is a special weekend here at Seacoast, and that this coming Tuesday, the 11th, is Veterans Day, which means that it gives us an opportunity as a church family to honor and celebrate all of the men and women who have served or are serving in our armed forces. Why don't you join me and give them a hand? Come on. Love it. I remember growing up, my dad, who passed away just a couple years ago, served as a Marine, and I remember Christmases in upper elementary and into middle school where Dad was deployed somewhere around the world, and my sister and I would draw a little picture of a Christmas tree that we would send to Dad, and we'd get pictures back of Dad with a Christmas tree taped up on a wall in a ship somewhere in the Persian Gulf. I remember seeing my mom in prolonged seasons of single parenting, right, when a spouse is deployed. And I remember in seventh grade taking my dad's car out for a drive just to make sure it was still running appropriately and hit a fire hydrant. Sorry, Mom. One time out, but I didn't make it easy on her, right? I know for those who have taken up the call to serve, there's a lot of prices to be paid by the whole family, many that are seen and visible and lots that are unseen and emotional and difficult. And we just want to take the time as a church family. What I love about the weekend is that you hear a lot of thank yous, but man, it's just special for your church family to honor, to celebrate, to come around you and acknowledge that, man, your whole family has sacrificed a great deal. So here's what I would love to do as we kick off the service today. If you have served, if you're active duty or retired or reserve, served in our armed forces in any capacity, if you just stand to your feet and remain standing for a few moments, we'd love to honor you. I want to pray over each of you. Woo! That's incredible. Remain standing just a minute for me. If you're near one of these folks here at one of our campuses, if you would just reach a hand out towards them. If you're online, you throw your hand up as well in the chat. But we just want to take a minute as a church to pray for you. God, we thank you so much for each of these men and women. Your word tells us that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And that is the call that they have taken up to serve and sacrifice, to fight for our freedoms, the freedom to come together and worship in a place like this regularly. And we're thankful, God, for every sacrifice that has been made, both the seen and unseen. And so we just pray today, as we surround them as a church, that you would be their counselor, their comforter, their friend, that you would be their greatest advocate. We stand on your word for blessing, that you will never leave nor forsake them. We just pray, God, that you would encourage them, that they would feel seen and known and honored today. So we thank you for each of them. As we open your word, God, we pray that it might not return void, show up in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give them one more hand. Thankful for you. Well, hey, last weekend we kicked off a brand new series called Level Up. Each of us have places in our life where God is inviting us to more. Culture would love for you to live it up, right? To enjoy life, whatever that might look like for you. But God has more for us. In fact, one of the ways that you can level up here at Seacoast is that it's baptism weekend. If you have made a profession of faith in Jesus, given your life to him, all throughout scripture, when people encountered the good news, the question was, well, what do we do? And it was repent and be baptized, to turn to him and then identify your life with his by way of his life, death, and resurrection through baptism. And so if you showed up today and were like, man, I don't have a bathing suit. I don't have the stuff. We've got shorts and shirts for you. If you just got your hair done, you're like, I don't know. Just got my hair done. Jesus died for you. Level up. Come on. Meet us out there. We want to celebrate it with you. And so it's an opportunity for you to do that. But we have an enemy, each of us, and his plan for our life is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he would love for you to be complacent in the life that you're living and the call that God has on our lives. And more times than not, as a believer, the fight for each of us isn't outside of ourselves. It's not gonna be against someone or something somewhere else, but it's gonna be a fight that we face inside ourselves. Putting to death some of the desires of our flesh or thoughts or behaviors, patterns that we might walk in that ultimately are not gonna take us to the next level that God has for us. The topic that we're gonna be looking at today is one that's experienced and desired and pursued in some capacity by all of us, and that is of comfort. We all desire, idolize, build our lives around, curate environments of comfort. As you got up this morning, you likely got out of bed and went at some point and stood in front of a closet full of clothes, picked out what you were gonna wear, hopped in a car, drove here. And if you're maybe at our Greenville campus, you saw Mark Bumgarner, who stands out by the road with a vest and a wand. Like, there ain't nobody at Seacoast as happy as Mark. And regardless of how you're feeling, it just puts a smile on your face. It's like, man, I want whatever he's had this morning. That is exciting. You pull in the parking lot. If you were here at the Mount Pleasant campus, you might have seen Gary Hines or a member of his team on a trolley because you had to park an hour away, right? And you hop on the trolley, they give you a ride up because don't nobody want to show up to worship sweaty. You know what I'm saying? And so you walked in. If you were at our Somerville campus, you might have seen Sleeveless Dave standing at the door as a greeter because sun's out, guns out. It's a great time to be at church and welcome people, right? You walk down to Kids Coast if you have children and you dropped them off in an age-appropriate environment upon which you left, maybe stopped and got some coffee, some decaf, some tea, came in the worship center. It was chilled at 72 degrees just so you're comfortable, not sweaty, right? You see a countdown clock up on the screen so you know exactly when church is gonna begin. Right, why do we do all of this? So you will be comfortable. People have a lot of reservations and hesitations and hangups about showing up at a place and taking a step towards God. Church is one of many places, right, that are curated for your comfort. We live in a culture that idolizes comfort. This week on Monday, my four-year-old was about to go to preschool. She picks out her own clothes each morning. She came downstairs and poor thing, like, is still sold out on summer. It was a chilly day. And she had on little pink shorts and a tank top. And I was like, babe, you at least gotta wear a jacket. Like, it's starting to get cold. Your teachers are gonna think we're idiots. Like, I'm paying attention to what you're wearing. We gotta put a little more on. And she said, why? Why, Daddy? And I was like, man, even at 4 years old, she knows that there's a price to pay for fashion, right? Sometimes you know what you want to wear and how you look in it, and you're like, I will shove my feet into this pair of shoes that are a size too small because I like the look, right? And so she was, why, Daddy? Why do I have to wear a jacket? And I realized even then for her, I was like, because I want you to be comfortable, you know? But finally, I was like, you know what? I'm not picking that fight. You don't want to be comfortable. Great, be cold. Let's go, you know? I'll let your teachers know. But from the time we were four till today, man, we prioritize our comfort in so many ways that we don't even realize, because comfort breeds comfort. Once we have it in one area, we seek it out in every other area. I want you to imagine that you were going on a trip, and on a scale from one to ridiculous, one being like you hardly pack anything and ridiculous being you take a Keurig on a camping trip. How much do you prioritize your comfort? First question you gotta ask going on a trip is this a carry-on or a check bag? Like, am I gonna be gone for several days or is this a quick situation? Or am I flying or driving? Because if you're driving, unless you got 18 kids, you always got room for the big bag, you know? But that then determines, it's like, okay, do I pick three good outfits that I can wear the same pair of shoes with? Or do I pick my three favorite outfits that need three different pairs of shoes? That's a real tension. My man Andrew agrees. I thought it would have been a lady that said amen to that, but it was my boy. I think the same way. All right. So now that I'm in my 40s, I think a little bit different about packing, and that I don't know the hotel we're going to, if it's an Airbnb, is the bed firm, is the bed soft? What I've learned is that it really doesn't matter as long as I have my pillow, right? Anybody with me? Let me see. If you travel with, look at them. People like, yeah, boy. Proud you take your pillow. It's like an adult stuffy, right? It's like, I got it. But I do know. That's just real. No matter the trip I'm going on, I'm always going to take a little lightweight jacket in case it gets cool at night, or that random seat on the airplane where you're like just freezing and there's no escaping. So it's like, whether it's the mountains or the beach, I'm going to take a little lightweight jacket. Another thing I've learned is that whether you're going to be in meetings or if you're getting off with your person and it's a little date trip, it's like you don't have to have style, but you also don't have to have wrinkles. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to get a little travel iron. Don't try to tell me you tumble. No, you still just look sloppy. Get a little iron, right? Make yourself look good. I travel with one. It works. For Katie, anytime we're together, I always got to take this little scale because my girl can fit 200 pounds of stuff in a 60-pound bag, right? So I always try to just keep one in the bag. Depending on how long I'm going to be gone, I got these little house shoes, right? I get that they're kind of like grandpa status, but we did just learn that our second daughter told our family that she's having a baby come Mother's Day. So I'm rocking the grandpa kicks with pride these days. The Bear and Ruby era has begun, you know? So all throughout our life, especially as we travel, you may not ever use the words, how can I be comfortable on this trip? But you're thinking about how you're gonna look, how you're gonna feel, the kind of things that you need in your life, in your kids' life, at home, and in your workplace, all around us. Why does this matter? Why is it such a big deal? Evil in and of itself isn't a sin, right? But it is addictive, which makes it very dangerous. Because we have affluence, it gives way to opportunity. Do I want to go to the beach or the mountains? Do I want to drive or do I want to fly? Do I want to go out to eat or do I want to eat at home? Do I want to drive there myself or do I want to have someone drive me, right? Opportunity gives way to preference. How do I like it? Not just for this thing or that thing, but in every area. And the reason that's so concerning is because it's very easy for a comfortable Christian to become an ineffective disciple. A comfortable Christian can become an ineffective disciple. Why is that? Because when comfort is the goal in our home, in our marriage, in our finances, with our calendar, if comfort is the goal, then our calling becomes negotiable. If God calls you somewhere or to do something that you know in some way is going to push on one of your comforts, the amount of margin you have in the week or how you steward your budget or the amount of time you're gonna have to spend with someone, if it's gonna push on your comfort in some way, then our calling becomes negotiable. Did I really hear God say that? I mean, I kinda had the thought, but that might've just been me. That might not have been God, right? On the other hand, if calling is the goal, then our comfort is negotiable. If I know what God's called me to, if I know the purpose he has for my life, the lane that I'm supposed to run in, the impact that I'm supposed to make, then I can trust him with my comfort. He's a good dad. He knows my desires. He knows my preferences. So I'm gonna delight myself in the Lord that he would give me the desires of my heart. But when calling is the goal, comfort can be negotiable. The two mindsets stand in opposition to one another of comfort and calling. They rarely coexist. The mindset of the two is very different. For someone who values comfort, they prioritize control. They want to curate environments that they feel comfortable in, do the things that they want to do. Meanwhile, the person who values calling, it would be trust. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to have faith in what he has for me and where he's leading me and the outcome of whatever it is he's called me to. People who overvalue comfort value self-protection. If God were to call you to have a hard conversation with a family member or a friend or a neighbor And right now things are kind of good, but you're thinking like, man, if I had this conversation with them, it could change everything. I'm not gonna touch that. Whereas the person who values calling responds in obedience. God, whatever you have called me to, I'm gonna do. My yes is on the table. I believe that blessing follows obedience. Ultimately, it's gonna be good for them and for me. I will do the thing. For the comfort-minded, they value familiarity. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, right? You wanna go to the same place you vacation, stay at the same house, go to the same restaurant. You know the food and the service are gonna be great, but for those that are calling-oriented, they value courage. God, I can do hard things, not because I'm gonna strive or hustle or grind it out, but because your spirit will empower me. I'm not gonna be afraid to go somewhere I haven't gone, to do something I haven't done. Well, Jesus knew this tension of comfort and calling would be something that we experienced. It was something the disciples experienced. And as a result, he had a formative opportunity for them in Matthew chapter 10 that we're gonna look at today. We're gonna stick with that same travel theme. And the question for you and for I is, how do I know I'm walking and calling over comfort? Three thoughts for us. I'll know I'm walking and calling over comfort when I, number one, prioritize check-in. Prioritize check-in. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. If you think about the last time you went on a trip, at some point you got online, got on your phone, made a call, and booked a flight. As it got closer, it wasn't until you opened up the app or got up to the counter to check in that you were actually assigned a seat that would allow you to get on the plane and take you to the destination that you hoped to go. By checking in with Jesus, not only did the disciples get clarity and vision on where they were about to go and what they were about to do, but they got the things, the anointing, the power that they needed to go and do it. Man, we live in a world that if you were to give your time to pursuing your passions, pursuing the desires of your flesh, there is infinite opportunity for you to stay busy doing all kind of stuff. If you were to give all of your time to pursuing the things of God, there is ample amount of brokenness and pain and need in our world where you could care for people. But the only way that you know which opportunities are an assignment for you is by prioritizing checking in with Jesus. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But each of us have a calling on our life. God created you on purpose with a purpose. He knit you together in your mother's womb and had good works prepared in advance for you to do. There's days where you just stumble into them, but there's days that you walk with vision and clarity into them. And the only way that you do that is prioritizing check-in. And that looks different for all of us. For Katie, she loves waking up early in the morning, sitting up in bed with a cup of coffee. She'd be sitting there with her eyes closed, holding it. I would have baptized myself in coffee if I tried to do the same thing. If I'm sitting up in a dark room holding anything, I'm going back to sleep. I'm just sitting up at this point. I need to be at a table with a chair. I need a little music on, need my coffee. Like, we both go after God in similar and different ways, and that's okay. But you have to prioritize check-in for you to walk in confidence of the assignments that God has for you. So I'll walk in calling over comfort when I, number one, prioritize check-in. Number two is pack light. So after giving them authority, Jesus then gives them instructions on, hey, you're about to set out on this trip. And now he tells them, is this a carry-on or a check bag? Are we driving or flying? What is this thing gonna look like? That's what he says. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now at this point, the disciples have only seen Jesus do this kind of stuff. So it had to be exciting to think like, man, he is sending us out now to do the things that he did. They knew themselves what they could do and couldn't do. They knew there's gonna have to be some more coming in order for us to be able to do this. He's given them authority. He's gonna give them power to raise the dead. Like, this is incredible. But then he gets into the packing list. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. So in other words, leave your wallet, leave your checkbook, leave your Bitcoin, leave your change bag, like anything that you might bring or have that would give you a sense of comfort as to what you're gonna eat, how you would provide for yourself, where you'll stay, any of those things, we're gonna leave that at home. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff or travel iron or pillow, right? None of your comforts. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm gonna pack light. Jesus was telling them, like, we all have things in our life that give us a false sense of security, that give us comfort. If you were to be doing a presentation at work, we've all got a go-to outfit, right, that you feel the most comfortable in. If I'm gonna be in front of people, there's some stuff you wanna take with you that you feel like in some way equip you to do the job. And the lesson that Jesus was wanting to teach the disciples was that at some point, all of your resources run out. You might be quick to respond with money or to respond with time or respond with resources to meet the needs around you. And great, we ought to do that. But at some point, those things all run out. And what Jesus was telling the disciples is, I want you to learn to lean on, to lean into the one thing that will never run out. And that's power by way of his Spirit. Signs and wonders to show up and meet and care for and meet the needs of people, of what you're gonna eat, of where you're gonna sleep, of what you're gonna wear. You can turn to me and trust in me for all of those things. Comfort in and of itself is not evil or bad at all. But with comfort breeding comfort, it can teach us to lean on ourselves over time instead of the one who provides all of those things for us. It's one of the things I love about going on global missions trips here at Seacoast. Been to Togo many times. We would go out into the bush in Togo, hours away from town, and children and parents would all run to the center of town to meet these strange people that have come to see and care for them. We would have food and games and clothing, and we'd give out and bless people. But at some point, all the stuff runs out. You start hearing people and getting to know their stories and realizing there is only one who can meet their needs. Well, in our culture, that can be a really difficult realization for us to come to. Because if you try to leave for work tomorrow morning without your wallet or your purse, like, you might run out of gas. And that would be a problem, okay? So don't do it. It can be difficult for us to position ourselves in places where all we have to rely on is him. But what would that look like for you? In your neighborhood, in your family, at work tomorrow, if you were to remove some of the natural comforts that we naturally kind of insulate ourselves with or build our lives around, that we might fully trust in him. If we're gonna be a people who walk in calling over comfort, we've gotta prioritize check-in. We have to spend time with Jesus for ourselves to be equipped and anointed for the assignment he has for us. But number two, we've gotta pack light. We've gotta limit the comforts of this world to ensure that we are allowing him to be the one to bring about comfort for us. And then number three, we've got to prepare for turbulence. Prepare for turbulence. After he says, I'm sending you out to do this, I'm going to give you the authority and the power to do it. This is the packing list. Don't take any of this stuff. He then goes on to tell them, like, hey, this journey ain't going to be easy. He starts off in verse 16 by saying, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, which is a reminder because wolves eat sheep. Okay, so that's not encouraging. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as a witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when, everybody say when. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of my Father speaking through you. It's about this time where all the excitement about raising the dead, healing the sick, proclaiming the good news, my mind would have been fixated on when I'm flogged in the synagogue and when I'm arrested. And I'm thinking like, okay, man, this is not gonna be easy. Verse 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When, everybody say when. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. He's saying God gave you one brain and two feet. So as soon as you start getting flogged or beat or threatened, like run, get out of there. Go on to the next town. Verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Okay, Jesus, man. Verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 38, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. My God. Goodness, like the call, that's like, can you imagine the emotional experience they just went on of being anointed and empowered and excited about a journey and then realizing, oh, I am going to face really difficult times. But at that time, he's gonna give me the words to say, he's gonna help me see what I'm supposed to do. Man, all too often in our lives, anytime trials, anytime trouble, anytime turbulence comes, like, God, where are you? What is going on here? What if he's trying to leverage the difficulty to help push you out of your comfort zone? The places where you feel confident, the places where you feel like you've got it. If he's using the turbulence, if he's using the trouble to shake your world so that you would lean on him, so that you would trust in him, that you would have faith in him. May not be as a result of your sin, may not be something you deserve, but it may well be an invitation from him to say, level up. Man, there is more available to you. If we're gonna be a people who walk in calling over comfort, we've got to prioritize checking in with Jesus for ourselves daily. We gotta be a people who pack light. Man, if you are a checked bag person all throughout life, whenever you lose everything, it can be really difficult to replace everything. But if you start out with little, all I need is him, then everything else is icing on the cake. He will bring about blessing and abundance in your life. But when you hold on to it, when you cling to it for confidence, man, it's painful when you lose it. We've got to prioritize check-in. We've got to pack light. And number three, we've got to prepare for turbulence. Know that trouble and difficulty is going to be a part of the journey. Man, when I think about the tension of calling and comfort, the first picture that comes to mind is of my dad. I mentioned earlier, he had been deployed much of my kind of upper elementary and middle school years. And at the time, I just didn't have the perspective or emotional capacity to really see and appreciate all the dynamics that meant at home. But years later, when he retired, I saw my dad, who had then become Peepaw as we started having kids. I saw him step into the calling of being a grandpa for the dad I think he always wanted to be. And he would drive to Charleston from Columbia 2-3 times a week and go to a kid's school for lunch or see one of their basketball games or pick up a handful of the kids to drive back to Columbia for the weekend. And I'll never forget this one time we had just moved and Asher wanted Peepaw to go up and tuck him in. It was 10 years ago. He was 5 at that time. And the boys had this bunk bed where the bottom bunk kind of shot out to make a T from the bottom. And Dad was a bigger guy, and so he gets upstairs with Asher and just realizes, buddy, there ain't no way Peepaw's climbing in that. I may not get out, you know? And so he said, you know what? I'll just sit down right here on the floor. And he sat down on the hardwoods and leaned up against the dresser and laid his arm and shoulder on the bed. And Asher cuddled up on his arm, and Dad sat there until he fell asleep. Some time passed, and I go upstairs thinking, like, what are they doing? And get up there, and Dad had fallen asleep sitting on the floor beside him. He had neuropathy in his legs, so his knees and below would fall asleep, lose feeling. And I woke him up, Dad, come on. Well, he couldn't just get up and walk because he couldn't feel his legs, right? So he rolls over and kind of crawls and shakes his ankle to get his blood flowing. From which he stood up. I'm so frustrated. I didn't take a picture of that moment, but it's just seared in my mind. Because when I think about the times in my life where I subconsciously make a decision driven by comfort instead of embracing an opportunity to take up a call, to express the love of God to someone, to share my faith with someone, to give to someone. Man, comfort is not evil, but it is so addictive and breeds comfort in every other area of our lives. Let's be a people who walk in the calling that God has for us, to share his love for others, to advance his kingdom, to know that he has good in store for us. There's nothing we need to cling to or hold to for comfort's sake when he is our comfort. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness with us, to pursue us, to invite us and challenge us to level up. And God, I'll just be the first to repent for the number of ways that I've allowed culture to influence my perspective and my pursuit of and desire for comfort. I thank you so much for the many comforts you have blessed us with, of all the times throughout history, of all the places in the world that you chose this place, this time for each of us to be. Comfort is very much a part of our story. But God, I pray that this weekend in some way in each of our lives, for places that we may have just set up shop and settled right in our comfort zone, that we would allow your spirit to push us out gently today, that we might take a step to level up. If it's how we steward our time, if it's in our relationships, if it's in our finances, if it's in our profession, God, we know that you have more for us. May we be a people who trust you, who are obedient to you, who are willing to take the step. Be with us now as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
awesome time.